Hello, everybody. Welcome to Flywheel, your number one source for everything crypto, DeFi, and all that's in between. If you want to know what's going on in the world of crypto and you come to the right place, this is DeFi Dave here with Capital K, and we're here to help you harness the power of the Flywheel. And this time around, we go into Cosmos Land for the first time. We have on the Shiba himself, Anon, intern, Anon, NGMI, Anon, causing a ruckus. You know, this was a fun one. I'm sure our listeners who are, you know, on Twitter know Anon pretty well in the timeline, especially recently with everything that he's been bringing about Cosmos. But on this episode, he shares us with his story, how he got into crypto, the early Terra days, meeting Do Kwon, that rise and fall, where he was, you know, the quick decisions that he had to make, how he bounced back, and how he went from, you know, the top to the bottom. And now he's on the come up again. I think everyone listening will really enjoy this one. Kit, what are your thoughts?
This is one of those sit back, relax, and just vibe sessions.
Just vibe. Just listen to Anon Schizo Rant for like 15 minutes straight. That's all you need. That's all you need in life. I won't hold it back any longer. But before we get into the episode, make sure you go ahead, hit that bell button, subscribe, give us a comment. Let us know what you think. Give us a like. Make sure you go and follow us on all of our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at 0x_K.
And we'll see you next week. And let's get the flywheel spinning. Welcome back to Flywheel. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here as always with Capital K. And this episode, this is gonna be a fun one. You know what's funny? We had a group for this for like ages ago and it just never materialized. And we just like went about our lives. And this was like 2 years ago. And so much shit has happened since then. We have Anon intern, Anon not gonna make it, Anon everybody's favorite or maybe second favorite Shiba. We got, you know, Casper's out there, but almost top three Shiba on Twitter.
On the timeline.
On the timeline, you know, not ready, you know, not afraid to cause a ruckus. Anon, great to have you on.
Yeah, great to finally make it on here. I'm always like the worst with finally nailing down a time to do something, but felt like the time was right.
Yeah. And you're probably most well-known for your involvement in the Cosmos ecosystem, being the founder of Apollo DAO, bringing up certain issues. And we're going to get all into that. But before we do, we want to get a little bit of your origin myth, origin story. Like, how'd you get into crypto? Where did Anon come from? Where did the Shiba come from? And how did you, like, come to identify as a Shiba?
Yeah, so that one probably started about, like, a year and a half ago, like, the Shiba. But, yeah, before that... I started like going to crypto in like 2016, 2017 time. So it was kind of like started buying like Ethereum and stuff on Coinbase. And then, yeah, I figured out like I was like traveling a lot for work at the time, and like whatever I was doing, like stuff like in the gym industry. And like I just like started using Ethereum, like the chain. So like Ether Delta and like 0x, and like kind of messing around with like the OG stuff, you know. And
then back in those trenches.
Yeah. So nice. I had like one like random Twitter account back then, like it was just like a trading account, and like probably only had like a few hundred followers at that point on that one. And then, yeah, I had just kind of went through that cycle or whatever. And then obviously, fast forward to like Terra comes around, or Luna. I saw it at like 60, 70 cents or whatever. And I saw like a YouTube video and I was like, oh yeah, this thing could probably run. So like I bought a bunch of Luna. That was kind of like the trade that I was most known for on the timeline on my account. And then I made like a Delphi intern account. I was like a Delphi intern for like 1 week or something like that. So it was like an intern account. Yeah. And then, that was like for last about like a week, and I did the hackathon and joined Apollo. So that was kind of like how that happened. So that was kind of how I was like my first, like, I didn't really even know it was Cosmos at the time, more or less. Like it was kind of like, you know, just like kind of was on Terra. I kind of knew it was like on the Cosmos SDK, but it was kind of definitely like a different ecosystem. They were kind of like,
so this is how you got into Cosmos.
Yeah. And then like the dog thing was just like, I was trading Doge like, I don't know, like, probably like a year and a half ago. And like, it was like basically like Doge is at resistance. So like the Doge was just getting pulled by a leash. And then like, yeah. And then Elon like tweeted about Doge and it like, whatever. I had like a 10X long open during that time for like no reason. And it just like, so I was like, all right, I'm just going to keep this profile picture for ever since. And it's kind of like, there's no real rhyme or reason to. But yeah, it's kind of like the quick version of it. Yeah.
So you got into Terra Luna from a YouTube video, got into the Cosmos ecosystem, started at Apollo. And you met Zo Kwan early. I remember we talked like in New York last year. Yeah, exactly. I met like 2,000 followers or something. Can you go into that story in those early days of Terra?
Yeah. So like I saw like the videos or whatever. So like obviously like normal thing that most people do, they start looking up everyone's Twitters, right? To kind of go see like, all right, who are the people behind this, the whatever. And yeah, Zo had like 2,000 or 3,000 followers. And back then that was actually before a non-intern even existed. It was on my other account that I had met him. And like, yeah, like even actually one time, like we interviewed him. I think it was like me and like Justin Wu, like interviewed him in like 2020. And like, I think I was even before I was anonymous. I think I was
Justin Wu.
It never got posted or whatever. So like, yeah, that's a small lore. Yeah, actually we interviewed though, like way back then, like when he only had a few thousand followers. So met him back then. And yeah, it was interesting character for sure. Let's, you know, put it that way. Like, definitely like a smart dude and definitely like very, very funny. Like, he was definitely hilarious. I think like the ego definitely went a little far, you know.
Yeah, you don't say.
Yeah.
So for like a while, so like all these things kind of align, like at the beginning, like right place, right time, you know, getting into Cosmos, like early Terra, like all this stuff. And then like, what was it like during the rise of Terra? And like, what was that mania like being in the thick of it?
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely insane because like, obviously like, kind of like being one of like the leaders over at Apollo, like leading that, it was like, you were kind of like one of the big DeFi projects.
What's Apollo exactly?
Yeah. So like, started as basically like an auto compounder for like yield. So obviously back, so it was like something similar to like a Yearn. You could probably equate it to something like that in the Ethereum ecosystem. So we built like the Cosmos and Vault standard, which is like similar to, I think it's ERC like 4626.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, so basically built like the equivalent to that just in like Cosmos and Rust. So kind of like makes LP tokens liquid, right? So you like are creating like a liquid LP token. Like a vault token. So that's kind of like the main technology, I guess you could say, we built. And then, yeah, we obviously built like auto compounding vaults and kind of different vault strategies, basically, is what we kind of built there. Obviously, that was like back in 2021, that was obviously like, you know, a bigger, kind of bigger piece of DeFi than it is necessarily now. Like, I feel like kind of like DeFi is like, it's kind of like the primitives are kind of like, we're kind of back to the primitives a bit, right? In DeFi, a lot of the fluff's been cut. We're kind of back to like lending and trading.
Back to basics.
Back to the basics.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. So you're working, you know, Apollo is all compounder. So like, was it its own Cosmos chain? Was it on Terra? Was it on a few different Cosmos chains?
It was on Terra to start. So we built like the auto compounder, and then we also built like the multisig for Terra. So
that was really innovating, right there. Yeah.
So obviously it was like, something similar to a Gnosis safe equivalent. But at the time there was nothing like it. So like there was like a contract, but no front end. So like we built a front end internally and then kind of spun that out. All like the big names all used it. So it was kind of hilarious for a little while, for sure.
So you're building your cred. Like Apollo's building its cred. It's proving like you guys can ship. You have like all the big players using.
Yeah, and like numbers are going up. Like, you know what I mean? I said, at one point where in my, like, it's like, I think it was right around Bitcoin Miami 1 year and like Luna was like 110 or something. And like that was like the highest. It was like around its all time high during like Bitcoin Miami 1 year.
Was it 2022? I guess it was. It was like in April.
Maybe 2021. 2021 or 2022.
I think it was 21. I think it was 21.
Oh, 21?
Yeah, 2021, yeah. And yeah, so I think that was right around the time where it was at his like peak mania and like whatever. Everyone was up, like, you know, absorbing amounts of money at that point. And
like,
you had to know that something was going to pop.
I have a question. Like, so like you kind of just like ended up on like the on Terra Luna. Did you look into the stablecoin at all? Did you have any interest in stablecoins or like anything that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, and yeah, I was definitely interested in stablecoins and all that stuff. And like, I didn't necessarily, I'm not like one of those guys that's like, oh yeah, like this is like gonna work 100%. Like, you know, if you know me, you kind of know, I'm like, all right, like, I know this isn't gonna last forever. I didn't necessarily know like how hard they were gonna push the limits of it, of this small like algorithmic stablecoin. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we kind of all know the story of like, the outside forces, like, you know, the God hands involved in all of this, right? We'll say with that. So I think, you know, there's some, there was some obviously like fake price action of the stable coin, right?
So, what do you mean?
I'm just like, you know, like there's market making of this on the stable coin, right?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like there are certain times where like it probably would have blown up a bit earlier, right?
Oh yeah. I remember like a year before in 2021, it depegged.
Yeah, so like I remember at that time I like obviously aped a bunch because like you know what it is, like if at that time when you're I was like more of a trader then at that time you're trading, like you see like a nuke on the chart, and that was one trade that I definitely like kind of like was one of my bigger known trades on the timeline, was like during that crash, like I just shoved all like a bunch of stuff into Luna, and I was like, all right, it's down from like whatever 20 to like $4 or something, and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna shove here in like slurp zone. And then then that hit. And then obviously I was like, all right, I'm gonna start building some stuff now, I think.
Got it. Okay. So you have like the balance between trader and builder. Inside of you there are literally two Shibas.
Maybe a few more, you know.
Yeah, there's a few there's a few Shibas. There's a few voices cracking around in there. okay. So like during 2022, like when it was Terra was all over the timeline, and like everybody, you know, fucking Novogratz has gained the Luna tattoo. Doquan is just like the ultimate symbol of like pride as a sin.
Will die by my hands.
Will die by my hand. Like, you know, miladies are virgins, all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
At what point did at any point like something in your head say I don't know if this could work, or like, hey, I think we're too far, but like, then you just ignore it. Like, fuck that intuition. Like, things are gonna be fine.
No, I mean, I was definitely vocally against a lot of like the stuff that was going on at a certain point. Like, when I had first met most of these people and most of like the organization and behind it, it was definitely, I felt like it was less of like, obviously like their treasury blew up. They before it actually blew up, it went up a lot, right? And like, it just, things got a lot more like, almost like corporate, but like unorganized corporate, you know what I mean? Kind of vibes. So it was just like, it got really like bureaucratic and political, because like there was just so much money involved that, I don't know. Classic. I started to see like things. Yeah, it just got really big really fast, right?
So when you start seeing the bureaucracy and the Kafka-esque shit around it, you're like, okay, there's something up here.
Yeah, and just, I had just like, whatever, my relations with a lot of them just like started to separate a bit, just because like, you know, like a lot more VC involvement was in the stuff and all of this. And like, we were, had already launched like before we launched when Luna was like around $5 or $6.
We launched. You launched Apollo, and,
yeah, pretty much more or less. So then like, it just like, you know, like it just got really big, really fast, and they started pushing the limits. And like I said, it felt like they were kind of like, not like selling their soul, but like, I guess in retrospect they were, as far as like, got basically it, like two different, like whatever VCs and market makers, just like, making deals like to keep the ball rolling, right, when it kind of like shouldn't have gone anymore, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember
they kind of had to, right? They kind of had to play that game. Yeah, they kind of had to switch friends and like elevate their social circle so that they can keep this thing going to the size it got to, right? It got to billions. Yeah, you know,
like, the more pools that you create, right? Like the more pools that you create, the more that you kind of like make yourself susceptible to these liquidity attacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like It's like, it's not like you have one pool that you control anymore like they used to. Then it's like they had the pool on Curve. They had the pool on like whatever, on like Osmosis. They had a pool on Terra. So like once they pushed the limits of the liquidity a bit, far to where like they didn't really have control anymore.
Yeah, I also heard that OTC Desk also had a ton of UST that they were able to like, you know, loan out and give out and stuff, right?
Yeah. Do
you know anything about like the non-public side of the UST?
That one definitely seemed like, as I said, if I were to guess on these types of things like that, I think that obviously like they bought some of the Bitcoin, right, with UST. Mm-hmm. So they OTC like Bitcoin to UST or whatever, and it was Genesis, right? Was the lending book, and like obviously you don't have to go into too much more detail on Genesis. Like we all know pretty much what, like, you know, Barry, it's gonna be a big week, the whole thing. So like, you know, I'm sure somewhere in those books, like that all that a lot of that UST was probably dumped, right? Like I don't know who the buyer was, right? Like I'm sure that someone else probably could have like bought that UST or just Genesis themselves was like basically like, obviously they lost a ton of money for everyone else on like Gemini Earn and all of these things. So I think, yeah, just like, I don't necessarily think just like Genesis is like the best business ethics at that time. Right.
Yeah.
So there's something there. Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of pools before, we all know about the four pool, of course. And yeah. And that was really the, you know, whatever, the haze that kept the camel's back or whatever. I don't know the saying. Yeah. But anyways, when like they were moving liquidity from the three pool to the four pool, that's when the first domino fell in early May.
Yeah.
And I guess like, where were you when that happened? And then like when after the 3 days, when the roller coaster ride was finally complete, like where were you at then? Yeah, go through that part. Yeah.
Yeah, funny enough, I was at a Terra hackathon like up until May. in Chicago. So we were at the pit, the Terra hackathon. And like I left on the 8th, I had to go back to New York to visit like some family or whatever, and then the 8th was like the first like tremor of the peg, you could say, like, you know, like the first micro shock. And then throughout the next 2 or 3 days, I think the 11th was when it actually crashed. And funny enough, I was in Bushwick for sure. So when that happened, I was in Bushwick for the collapse of UST. Yes. I just remember I was on my couch and like just on my couch in my ledger for like 2.5 days straight, just like signing transactions. Like, cause obviously like the ecosystem is going down. So you have to make all these big decisions of like, all right, like some of the money, whatever, it's like in our treasury and stuff was just in like smaller liquid tokens. So like we decided to just hold all of that, like not sell that, because like we didn't want to like take liquidity away from like our users or anything like that. And then, you know, we had like obviously UST in some of our treasury. So like how to get that out, obviously with the most amount of value. So luckily we were able to kind of like make a lot of those quick decisions. And obviously, like, we had just stayed awake for, like, 2 days straight, just, like, finding weird ways to get liquidity out. So, like, at one point, we were, like, holding, like, wrapped euro on Osmosis because it was, like, the only thing that had liquidity, right? And, like, and I'm just, like, watching the euro chart, and I'm, like, damn, I'm losing, like, 2%. I'm, like, yo, come on. We had 100, 200K in euro or some shit. And it's just, like, going down by, like, 8%. Yeah.
Can you say that you were euro poor at that point?
Yeah, I was. Wow. And then, like, we ended up getting like a bunch of that out, and then like we obviously like I'm like not like a super maxi of all things, so we did have like another portion of our treasury was like kept on Ethereum in like USDC, so that was also like a good risk management from like, you know, some of the degenerate people over there, I guess. But
wow, damn, like this is a high pressure cooker situation here, having to make all these decisions. Yeah. And like, kudos to you for like, oh, these illiquid tokens aren't worth it. Like, we want to make sure, you know, do our best for our users as much as we can.
Yeah. So it was not the best of times, but then it was kind of like, from there we were just like, all right, we're gonna like rebuild it. So since we built it in Cosmwasm, we now like redeployed it on some stuff on Osmosis, and then some stuff like over on Neutron, which is like whatever, one of the L1s with like kind of like where like the some like the former like Lotto guys and like Cosmos, kind of like Lotto Cosmos staking chain, pretty much more or less. So kind of like went to those places just because that's kind of where like the next like level like of liquidity was in Cosmos, right?
Yeah,
it's not like not a ton, but it was like kind of like those are the main sources right there.
And,
so,
and then I want to get into like the period in between the Terra collapse and the fall of FTX, because I think this like sets us up later for like all this Cosmos shit that's happening. Because basically, like, all right, like Terra collapses, all that, and then this kind of like gets your wheels turning in your head a bit. And then like, when did you first? Because you were one of the first people I knew that like was like ringing the alarm on FTX, at least privately. Like, when did you start to realize like, hey, there's something funky with FTX?
Yeah. So I thought, like, I'm like one of the biggest SBF haters of all time. Like, I think like I might even be the one of the biggest. I know, like, I think Jim Talbot was another one that was like early on like hating on SBF as well, like loudly too. And like, I remember at the time I would say like, I used to shit post about SBF all the time. And I remember like people that were like invested in him or like just like people, he was like the golden boy. And I would just like, everyone would just like shit on me for saying like all this stuff. And like, I think like with him, like I just like used to use a lot. It's like I used to leverage trade over there and like high lev for a while. And like, I was just like, yeah, I don't know. I just like, something just seemed off. I don't know, like about the whole thing. And then like, I saw kind of like, I saw that he was just like kind of getting fat and losing his hair. And that was like my first sign where I'm like, all right, like something weird's happening here.
Physiognomy.
Yeah. And then like my shitpost kind of turned into like actual fact where I'm like, all right, like I think that like I'm pretty sure there's a hole here or something like in the balance sheet. Because yeah, I started looking through, I mean, you remember in that one chat we had or whatever on the side, like for our office or whatever, I was just tweaking all day in there.
Like, dude, nonstop tweaking. Like,
nonstop tweaking. So like, I was like looking through like basically like the Gemini Urn, Genesis, Silvergate, all of this stuff. And like just looking through all of this, like I was just like kind of following through the different trails of money. And I'm just like, all right. I also like got really into like basically like after like the Mango attack or whatever, I realized that like that same attack was available on FTX a few different times as well. So like I like ended up reading through all their documents or whatever. Like at the time, like when like I was like really hating on them, I'm like, all right, like I'm gonna find these guys doing something fucking weird. I read through all the entire blog, all the documents about like the engine, but all that. And then like a few months later, I saw that they changed all of it. Like they like got rid of a bunch of the stuff that I had like thought was like didn't make sense. And so like I'm pretty sure like, you know, like they were basically like all the liquidity, right? And like all like they were basically filling all the orders, all of that stuff. So like a lot of like the exchange, I was like, all right, like this is fucked up here. And then like there was like the mobile coin exploit, if you guys remember that one.
Like, oh, and like mobile coin that like the IO yeah, was like super high.
If anyone listening cares enough, they can like Google it and look into it. But essentially, like yeah, FTX lost like whatever it be. Maybe I think it might have been even $1 billion or something that day. Because somebody like you'd think they're basically like they have the God mode account, right? So like they can't really get liquidated, blah, blah, whatever. So someone like comes in and pushes the price all the way up, right? And like they're gonna take the other side of that trade. So like someone basically like. They did like the Mango attack, but on FTX, like very similar thing. Like they pushed the price up of the collateral, borrowed more than they could, and then basically like whatever dump. So they did that to Mobilecoin, and obviously the other side of the book is just all Alameda balance sheet. So like they basically blew a hole there, and then you know like I'm sure them with like UST and Luna, I'm sure that they blew a hole there as well.
So you saw all these different holes in the ship.
Yeah. And like so I noticed a lot of these like things where I'm like, okay, all right. Like, and then like the Terra thing was what made me look at some of these holes. It's like I started to notice where I'm like, all right, like, you know, the Terra was the first domino in like a line of like daisy lenders, right? A daisy chain of lenders, as Barry said, which he was like the end of the line.
He was the start of the daisy chain. That was the craziest tweet. Yeah. That's honestly the craziest tweet that he's just like, I don't know, like some like self like admitting thing that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That one really like, I don't know, that tweet sticks with me to this day. Like daisy chain of lenders, like someone's going to blow up. And I'm like, dude, like it, I followed it all the way back, and it ended at DCG.
It ended at Barry. It ended at Barry.
Yeah, it ended at Barry because like it was the GBTC trade that kind of kicked all of it off, right? Like 3AC was like one of the biggest ones doing that trade, where it was like free money on Bitcoin or whatever. Basically, like you could, because the premium or all this, like they were doing that, and everyone was borrowing against it and doing all this stuff, and then they were giving back like a small percent of the yield back to like the customers on like BlockFi, Gemini Earn, blah, 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 all that. And at a certain point, it was like, you know, half of DeFi was just like a slush fund of people's money that was like trading against all of us, essentially. So we were basically trading against like, yeah, somebody
to steal liquidity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were too. Like some people got out on either side, you know?
Yeah, but that's true.
It was basically kind of like, like this one entity just using everyone's money to like manipulate all these prices and stuff. So, yeah, I mean... And then, like, everyone wants to know, like, where's Trabuco? You know, that's the final statement, you know?
Where's Trabuco?
He just walked away and is not mentioning anything, right? Like,
yeah. Unreal. Okay. Yeah. So basically, you go, there's always in Philadelphia Mimo, like, finding the holes, like, going in the chat, tweaking hard. And but, like, for good reason. For good reason, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it actually happens. FTX collapses. And then, you know, it's just like this bear for, you know, however so long. I'm just like wondering, like, how did you survive the bear? Like, how did you hibernate? How did you like make it through? Like, what were you doing at Apollo DAO? Because I'm sure at like this point, like it was already desolate. Like things were like not so great at Cosmos. And then this happens. It's like, oh shit. So like, I'm wondering, what did you do during the bear with Apollo, and whatnot?
Yeah. Go ahead. Obviously, we didn't lose like our entire treasury, but we definitely got hit for a bit. So yeah, we definitely had to like basically reduce everyone's pay. So, you know, had to live like definitely like kind of like had to cut everyone's pay in half for a little bit, just like while we were like figuring things out. And then we did raise some funds, but the thing is like when Terra collapsed, like all of our like connections there also were like so badly affected, right? And then so they weren't really looking to like. They were licking their wounds at that point. And then, you know, we were talking to people or whatever, and then FTX collapsed. So then like anyone else that was like not affected by
Terra. Wash them out.
Yeah. So then I'm like, all right, like, you know, things aren't great here. So, but yeah, ended up being able to raise some funds, as well as like, we did build like some stuff for grants on a few chains. So we built like a multi-sig on like a couple chains in Cosmos. So kind of just like, you know, just found ways to kind of survive that way by like trying to add value as well as like, you know, just like to raise. And then, so now just redeployed. And so now it's just about kind of like trying to like gain more TVL again. Because like obviously back on Terra, we had, you know, like on the average was like 30 to 60 million. And then I up all the way up to 200 million in TVL at one point, like during the launch. So obviously now it's like having like 2 million TVL. It's just like a much different game now. Than it was on Terra. Liquidity wasn't a problem on Terra, you know?
Yeah. And I guess like, it's like seeing like how things are on Cosmos right now. And like, you're like, damn, like we should like, why are we getting more TVL? Did this kind of like motivate you and your current, like kind of like rampage about Cosmos recently? Yeah, like, I guess like what, yeah. Did, like what sparked that? And like exactly what did you expose? Cause there's like a lot going on.
Yeah. I mean like, that was like kind of like obviously just dealing with like after Terra exploded, a lot of us, like almost everyone moved on into Cosmos, right? So then it was like whatever, like Zani is like over at Initia now, right? And he was over there. Mm-hmm. Like there's like Spade, he's at Neutron, like he was doing B Luna, which is like the liquid staking for Luna there. So like that's kind of how everyone spread all over. Mm-hmm. So I think that it was like, all right, like we all kind of like went from being on Terra, which was like a zero own thing, to then like into like more deeper into kind of like general, like what's considered like Cosmos community as opposed to like what Terra was. It was like, and I don't think that Terra was like the nicest to all these people during their time. Right. So it was kind of like, they were like the rich neighbor. Right. In one way or another, right. Getting all the attention and all of that. So I think like, and like obviously like Doe was pretty loud, and if anyone was like critiqued him, like that he was like shutting them down and whatnot. So I think like a little bit of like resentment there. And then, like, some of the Terra teams, like, a few of them, like, which I tried to warn some of the people were just like, all right, yeah, these guys, like, aren't necessarily, the ones that you necessarily want to, like, be working with. Like, let's just say it that way. Like, you don't really want to partner with them. Like, they're not really going to execute. And, like, they gave them, like, a large sum. So it was just, like, I think there's just a few different things that kind of just gave people a bad taste in their mouth. So then it was, like, yeah, I was in this new ecosystem where, like, I went from being, like, this player and this one to, like, basically being, like, I wasn't really, like, my status was a lot lower here. You know, like, I had to kind of restart reputation. Mm-hmm. So I kind of started from there. So it was definitely, like, a different feeling from, like, kind of being where I had built myself up to. So being back to, like, nothing necessarily, like, kind of again. And so then I learned through my experiences, just kind of saw, like, what difficulties there was, like, in Cosmos, like, as trying to build from like, ground zero up all the way back up. And it's not necessarily that I think that, like, any of them are, like, bad people or stuff. There's just, like, so much, like, disorganization and conflict of interest in the ecosystem. And, yeah, I think, like,
could you give us some example, like, of that? Anon?
Just, like, you know, people are just, like, double charging for work, take, like, community, like, there's just a lot of community funds where, like, people are asking for, like, whatever, exorbitant amounts for things that, like, aren't really necessarily worth it. So, like, the community, like, funds kind of, like, are a little bit, like, those spending's a little out of control there. And then there's, like, the ICF organization, like, Interchain, which they have, like, whatever, $200 million treasury or something.
What is the ICF?
It's the Interchain Foundation. So they're, like, kind of, like, almost like Cosmos Foundation. You could kind of think of it like that, but it's, like, private.
Okay. And so they have, like, consensus? That's how I think of it.
Yeah, in a way, something like that. Yeah, it's just, like, you know, they're supposed to be, like, the steward of the ecosystem, and they, like, have all this huge, they got, like, 10% at Genesis, and they have, like, they raised a bunch of in, like, Ethereum and Bitcoin. So they have, like, whatever, like, $200 million, like treasury. And there's, like, whatever, not a bunch of clarity exactly on everything necessary there that our people are asking for clarity on. And, like, all of these people, like, kind of maintain different parts of software in the stack. That obviously, like, you know, everyone wants to say, like I said, everyone wants to shit on Cosmos, but most people kind of use their tech in one way or another. But but no one wants to associate with them due to, like, kind of, like, this brand. Like, it's definitely, like, tough to get any talent to it to, like, actually want to, like, contribute back, because there's just, like, this kind of, like, yeah, like, really, like, big bureaucratic thing, whatever, that, like, kind of, like, they're the ones that control a lot of, like, the funding to these different organizations. And you kind of have to align with that to get, like, you know, some of the resources, it feels like, in a way. So it was kind of just, like, as someone that didn't necessarily go for that route, I kind of, like, I feel like I'm free to, like, be like, yeah, like, this is kind of dumb, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the dog was let out of the doghouse.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I tried not to, like, you know, I definitely sometimes can get a little unhinged in the tweets, but yeah, I try to keep it more based. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think what I saw from this is, like, okay, you started, like, you know, bringing attention to these issues at Cosmos and in the ICF. And then most recently, I think there was a proposal to, was it, like, shake up leadership at the ICF? Was it to dissolve the ICF? Like, what was, like, posted in the forums most recently?
Yeah, I mean, like, is it everyone has their different levels of extreme, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think everyone, these problems have been around for longer than, like, I've even been in Cosmos, right? So these aren't necessarily new problems. It's, like, I think, like, you know, like, in Cosmos, everyone's kind of, like, a nerd, more or less, right? Like, we kind of, like, or that's, like, the stereotype. And, like, I think they kind of, like, silo themselves a lot, right? And, like, don't necessarily expose themselves to outside. Whereas, like, you know, like, with me, I with trader background and then, like, building and then, like, whatever, I have friends that build on Ethereum. So I think I've, like, spread out, like, some of them spread out as well, but it's, like, kind of getting insight from people outside of, like, your circle on your like, ecosystem is kind of, like, not always, like, the funnest thing, but it's definitely where you get the best feedback, I think. It's like from people like that. So I think that's kind of, like, a good way to look at it.
So can you do your, like, summary of what's going on here? Cause you really get at some of these up.
I mean, it's kind of like, right, like, there's, like, informal, which is, like, one part of the ecosystem. There's, like, Strangelove that they do one part. And then there's like binary builders. So each of them kind of get these like payments from like, or like grants, right? To maintain parts of the stack. So, and then there's just like instances where like one of them would like, would also like charge the client, like basically double in a way. Cause like they're getting money to do this. And then they also are like charging a client at the same time. Right. So like there's just different instances of that. And like, where like they get a lot of like these same thing. They kind of get a lot of like the advisory tokens. Right. Because of like the position that they're in with that. So I just think that like, it's like people should, like there should be a change of like who does a lot of this stuff. Like people should be able to bid. It should be like kind of, I think there should be a more like a bit more competitive of a marketplace for like maintaining these parts of the software instead of just like giving this money to the same people like every time, right? Like there should be someone that comes in and is like, oh, I can do this better for a cheaper price, right? And like that's just like one example, right, of where like
open up competition, yeah, so you don't just have lock-in.
Yeah,
like an RFQ like, model, right? Anybody can submit their quote and then kind of compete for the contract. Yeah,
I think that's at least like something like that. And then just like, yeah, I think people are don't have like the most faith in some of the different leaders in these organizations of like I don't like, I haven't been around as long as the rest of them, so like I'm more just talk from like my point of view on it too.
And
like,
right, because you only came in after Terra collapsed, so like May 2022, like or you know, around the later years of 2022.
Yeah,
I see. And so how long have you? Are you still in it?
Yeah. So, like, I had still used like Osmosis a lot back on Terra because they had some of the biggest liquidity. So I had already I had met like Sunny through like back when Terra was up like with then. So I kind of started to get kind of see like expand into more of it. And obviously like building on top of Cosmos, like I had read like the IBC white paper and like I used Ethereum, I used Solana, I used Terra, I used the Cosmos, like everything. And so like I had been like following it for a while, but then once you like really build on it and you can really see like, and you meet kind of like, I kind of like I've met a lot of the people involved in building a lot of the stack. And like, so you kind of like just see like, you know, where it comes from, how it's built, like the culture around different stuff. And like, yeah, I think right now, like, just there's like a more of like a culture problem.
Got it.
In Cosmos, yeah, like that's kind of what I was trying to highlight. And I think that there's like a bunch of different like instances of like there's just like this one kind of main problem is that like this thing is just not like really checks. There's not really like checks and balances on this organization. It feels like there should be, and it's like a private organization, so you can't really like you can't just like look on chain right and see. And see all their stuff, like it's like a little bit harder than that, so it makes it kind of like complicated to see.
Got it. And so, like in an ideal world, like what do you think? Like, how do we remedy some of these, if not all these problems? Like, what is like best case scenario with Cosmos? Because yes, this is you can look at this as growing pains, like trying to figure shit out. People have been there for a while. Stuff hasn't been working. There's a culture problem. This and that. So like, what do you think should be done to fix the culture and fix some of these problems?
Yeah, I mean, I think like obviously like a rotation of leadership in some of these roles, and I think bringing in some people who are like less involved, right? Like they just have less conflicts of interest or less involved, right? Like if these same like kind of like a same smaller group of people, like I'm not even saying like specific people, like in any group where it's like, you know, a smaller set of people that are kind of like doing a lot, like. So it's not even that they're trying to do this, right? It's like sometimes they're just always volunteering, like being like they're always super active, right? So like it can also be a bit of that, but yeah, it just feels like it's like one of those things where it's like every time you can just like you can almost like smell the conflict of interest, like just by like when things are you know what I mean? It's just like kind of just gets old at a point where like you kind of just wish things would make sense.
And this isn't a problem just with Cosmos or even in crypto. This is a problem in organizations. This is everywhere. This is everywhere.
Yeah.
Like cycling through, like, oh, we should like, you know, have like a cycle of fresh conflict leaders, like conflict. Like this happens in the U.S. fucking government. So it's like, definitely not unique with Cosmos. And like, we're all just trying to fix it. Which, you know,
and like the Cosmos one is like, it's definitely like a lot more out in the open and public than in a lot of the other places, right? When it comes to like, governance disputes and all of this stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a lot, definitely like a lot, which I think is good and bad, right? Like, so it's like, I'm still trying to navigate it myself. And yeah, I'm just like kind of live tweeting my experience. And like I said, I wouldn't take everything I say for like 100%. Like, things. Like
you're
sometimes
only one person, my, like one dog, yes, with one, yes, point, yeah, of view. We get it.
Yeah, yeah. So I, yeah, and like, I have whatever biases I have too, right? But yeah. Yeah. I try to keep it pretty, like, you know.
I got a question. So then, as you're working with the tech stack and the foundation, so that's obviously a headache, but how is it like collaborating with, like, say, Osmosis, Kujira, or any of these other bigger Cosmos individual projects, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Kujira, I have like a bunch of friends that are like involved, yeah, in that ecosystem and whatnot. I'm not always a fan of the leadership decisions that they've made there, right, with like their recent thing, where they were like just had a big leverage position with the foundation and were like changing parameters on like the lending market, which, like I said, like you think you have to do that to save it or whatever, but you kind of undermine the whole point,
yeah,
of a decentralized money market
when you're
like,
yeah.
So
desperate needs, you know.
Yeah, so that one we didn't touch because like my devs, I think you actually met them at one point, Dave, maybe at one of the conferences, maybe, I forget.
Probably. But
yeah, them too, they refused to build on like closed source. So we actually didn't really have like any exposure there. And then
they refused Osmosis, to build on. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then Osmosis is permissioned. So I like the team there. Sunny's a super cool guy too. And I just like building permission can be a bit of a headache because like you have to like, whatever, upload contracts or governance and all of this, and like makes it a little bit more difficult. So then, yeah, Neutron, mm-hmm, is permissionless, Cosmos L1. So that, mm-hmm, one is kind of like where we like deploy most things now, just because like permissionless is just like a little bit easier. So those are most of the teams that like that I kind of interact and build with. And like I've built on a few of the other chains, like just small like multi-sig stuff too. So like the Stargaze guys, like it's like NFT one, they're pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, there's like whatever a few other people too, yeah, but most people are pretty cool. Like I said, it's just like a lot of people have these same kind of problems, and like I'm more of just looking for like an answer than I am like trying to like necessarily blame. I mean, there's like,
you just want to build.
Yeah, I'm looking for an answer. Yeah, I'm just asking questions.
You're just asking questions. You're just a curious dog, a curious Shiba.
Yeah, I'm just a curious guy, bro.
And so so even through all this, like, why Cosmos? Why keep building on Cosmos? Why not go over to like, you know, another L1 or an L2 that's catching a bid? Like, why stay building in Cosmos?
I'd say definitely like the first decision for when we entire collapse was definitely like on code base as well.
Oh, sure.
Like we'd already built on Rust and Cosmos, right? So the, mm-hmm, the amount of time and effort and all that to like switch to a whole new language and like kind of rewrite in a different language was like one of the biggest factors to kind of staying within Cosmos, was we had already kind of built it. And then during the collapse, that kind of gave us a chance to rewrite a lot of the contracts, which like, you know, like when you like basically start in a hackathon and then like you kind of catch on to like a hot narrative, it's like you're kind of just making things work. So we did get a chance to kind of rewrite it a bit, like clean up a lot of it. So that was kind of the decision that we made, rather than trying to pivot to like another place. And I do think that, like, the idea of like, you know, like a blockchain that you can like customize to like whatever you want is a pretty cool and interesting thing. And like,
yeah,
so I think a lot of the tech and ideas of Cosmos, like, you know, everyone kind of like, there's like whatever, there's like the whole joke of where like Ethereum like is basically like stealing all Cosmos' ideas and productizing them, right? Like, you know, like that whole meme.
Now, it's true. Rebranding it. What is the super chain?
yeah. So I think that like it definitely like from like a, I feel like the, from like the nerd perspective, it is like interesting. Like, you know, mm-hmm, IBC, which is like pretty dope, right? I think like the UX and some of the product sizing of Cosmos hasn't been the best, but like obviously you see like, you know, whatever, DYDX using parts of the stack, like, mm-hmm, like, you know, all these people using parts of the stack, whether they want to claim part of it or not, right? Like, that's another thing. I think that it's technically should be like white label software, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, this is like an SDK, right? A white label. I can like take this and brand it into whatever, right? So it's like, I feel like that's kind of more of what like I can see it as, and like, that's where it's like there's like the app chain thesis, and then like, but I still think not everything needs an app chain. I'm all like, you know what I mean, like almost nothing really does more than like a few different primitives probably.
Yeah.
So like, I think like, yeah, that's like, I think like you should start as like an app for sure before you ever become like a chain.
Chain. Yeah. See what traction you get and then go from there.
Yeah.
So I remember we asked Cindy from Drift this question. It's like, why did you stay on Solana literally after the FTX crisis and during like the deepest of the bear? It's like, why did you stick there? I'm sure there were other chains that presented, you know, better opportunities at that time. And she said something that Dave and I thought was like, oh, wow, that's, you know, high conviction, was that she said, Solana is the place that our tech works the best. And other chains just could not do it. So that's why we had to commit and we stay convicted. And I thought that was like pretty compelling to hear. That's like, you know, the tech didn't allow us to move. Like we needed this chain to work. Yeah. So it's either, you know, we go down together or, you know, to the moon.
It's like, you know, obviously Apollo's contributed to like the Cosmosm code base and, and like we've built, you know, like whatever, like the vault token standard for like, which like a few other projects have used and stuff too. So kind of contributed somewhat in the code for DeFi. And then, yeah, so now trying to kind of just like kind of like on the social side, right? Like try to see like if I can, you know, whatever, get things like just get some questions answered, right? Like it's like kind of like, there just seems to be a lot of like a lot of different people that are like want transparency, but there's so much conflict of interest that no one can like ask for it, right? Because it's like, it's just like, no one wants to talk about it because like they don't want to like, no one wants to like shake up what's happening. Right. So yeah, I'm just like this program. I'm like, all right, like whatever. Fuck it.
There's something to be said about like digging your heels into somewhere where you're already built and not jumping ship and not chasing trends and be like, no, this is like, we're planting our flag. This is what we're going to build. Because in the long term, at the end of the day, if you like take yourselves out and look at the time scale on a long enough time scale, it like pays off long term to be in like one place and growing in one place for sure.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. So it's like at that point, like kind of just see it through, right? Like that was like the original goal of it. So just kind of see it through. Like, I felt like it was just like the right thing to do for us and the users.
I got two more questions. The first one is, is there anything Cosmos or like Cosmos like a lot related or anything that's exciting you right now? Is it like anything that you think we should keep an eye on?
I mean, I know like one of the big chains that just launched whatever is like Penumbra, and they're doing like whatever, it's like shielded assets. So it's kind of supposed to be like a privacy chain, which like I think like, at least me personally, I'm always interested in like in that stuff because I think that's like one of the big things. So I think that's gonna be kind of cool. And like trying to think of what other things like. I know like there's like Skip, which builds like a lot of stuff like in the kind of like in the plumbing of like IBC, and they do like MEV and all that kind of stuff, which they're kind of like an interesting team to keep up with. They built like a new Oracle and stuff like that. So there's definitely some teams that I think that are building like some like interesting things. And then, there's obviously all the teams building like on different parts of the stack, right, too. So like you have like Cosmos chains with like EVM, Cosmosm, like all this different stuff. So I think that it's like, it's definitely like the text gets used, but there's definitely, like I said, there's definitely like a limit to how far it can go in the current stage. And just like how everyone feels about it from the outside, like needs to change a bit too, I think for like users to come in and talent to go there.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I think this wraps up our Cosmos portion. The last question I want to ask is, are there any other projects you're working on? You know, you seem like the kind of person to have like the pause in a lot of different, you know, places. So
if you know about the thing, then like the thing, the but thing. If you don't know about the thing, then
you'll know
that thing. And then obviously that our like little accidental meme magic that we did with ETH Bushwick. So apparently now the organizer of ETH Bushwick. So
apparently we've somehow like become the organizers of ETH Bushwick, which I'm, you know, down for.
When I first moved to New York, like that, like I didn't really like New York that much when I'd been once or twice. And then like I had to move for like a reason of like someone had to be in person for something. And like, I didn't look for the apartment at all or whatever. Like someone just was like, they picked it out. I'm like, all right, whatever. And it happened to be in Bushwick, right? Mm-hmm. So that was like my first year in New York. I didn't even pick it, whatever. I just ended up there, right? Like, you know, one of the, like,
how it was like you were destined to be in Bushwick.
Yeah, yeah. And then like lived in like Greenpoint 1 year, and then back to Bushwick. So kind of stayed in that area. And yeah, like obviously, like I said, I've hung out with so many like whatever crypto people, devs, like all that type of stuff in that area. And I think it was like started as like a joke. I remember we were talking about it in Brussels, and like everyone was like, yeah, it's kind of funny, we should do it. And I just like one day just went and looked at the at and it was available. I'm like, all right, I'm going to send it. And then like, I remember you texted me, you're like, yo, let's do this. And then
yeah, like give me the password. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the password. And yeah. So I think I think it's real.
I think so. Yeah. Well, you know, every day it gets realer and realer.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about Bushwick? What do you think makes Bushwick so special?
Oh, I mean, it's just like definitely has a lot of character, right? Like, yeah, you never really know. Like, there's the L train side and the J train side. And like, it's kind of like right in the middle of like, crossing over, I think, right? Like you have like mm-hmm. Williamsburg, which is like fully crossed over. And then like East Williamsburg, which is like 75% there. And then like Bushwick, that's like 50% there, right? And like, obviously it just has like a lot of interesting things. A lot of interesting things yeah. happening. Interesting. It's just like a funky place. You kind of feel like you're in like a portal a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Like yeah. Like, you literally feel like a real place sometimes. And yeah, I think it just has like a lot of like interesting history and like obviously like the spray paint everywhere, and it's like in Brooklyn. So it's mm-hmm. like not exactly where like your traditional like Dubai, Miami, Las Vegas event would happen. It's like, you know, more like, yeah, you're on your own here, you know?
Yeah, I know it all too well. It's just like the grittiness of it. There's just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like sometimes like hard to explain in words unless you go there, and not just go there, but like stay there for a bit. And then you get like, yeah, like a true sense of like, okay, this is Bushwick.
I think it just has like, I don't know, when you say like Bushwick, it just has that certain like connotation to it, right? Not a bad one. It's just like everyone knows what everyone's doing in Bushwick, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, for sure. I know. What are they doing in Bushwick? Anyways.
Yeah. What happens in Bushwick stays in Bushwick is kind of like the vibe, right? You know, like, no, you can go, no rules in Bushwick.
For sure. No rules for crack devs. You know, in it for the tech.
Yeah, in it for the tech.
anyway, so that was our last question, but we always have like one bonus one before we end every interview, and which is, who would you recommend as a guest? Who do you want to see on Flywheel?
Who do I want to see on Flywheel? Balloon Lover. I want to see Balloon Lover on Flywheel. Oh,
you're the second person to mention that. Tarun was the first. So
I'd like to see the takes. Always has some funny takes.
So. Yeah, we'll do like a voice distorter, and we'll do everything. Balloon Lover, if you're watching this, please come on. Anon, where can like people find you? Can like learn, find Apollo, all that stuff.
Yeah, can just hit my Twitter. It's at Anon NGMI. So I'm not going to make it.
Well, Anon, you are going to make it. Thank you so much for coming on, and you know, I'll see you in Bushwick.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'll see you, bro.
Six inside.
Yeah.
All right, my man.
Cheers.
You know what time it is. Welcome to the postgame show. I'm your host, DeFi Dave, here as always with Capital K. We're just wrapping up an interview with the Shiba himself, Anon. Not going to make it, but I think he is going to make it because he has his mind and heart in the right place. You know, we got really into Cosmos. We went through some war stories with him. I always love having these guests on that have actually been in the trenches, especially someone like Anon, who is like mm-hmm. two sides of the same coin, no pun intended. He's like the trader, the builder. So like, he's really very well-rounded in his experience and what he brings to the table. So Kit, what do you think of this interview?
Man, what I like the most about it is like he has his like rising story of how he rose, like, you know, found Luna early in the 70-60 cents, rode that wave up, became a dominant builder in the space. And then on the other side, when everything came crashing down, he had to start again from zero. Then he had to move over to Cosmos, you know, proper analysis. So large and so bureaucratic, and it was just such a hard time for him to rebuild back up as like a phoenix rising again. So I think that's such a great kind of like hero's journey story.
Yeah,
to, for him to share.
It's, like it's so rising. It's real. It's real. Like Keith Bushwick. Yeah. I really enjoyed this episode. I didn't realize how much Apollo has contributed to the Cosmos ecosystem.
Oh yeah.
Building like such core primitives, whether it's the vault or the multi-sig, like yeah. things we kind of take for granted in ETHland.
You know what's funny, dude? The moment he said that, though, I don't know if you've seen the show Silicon Valley, but then
yeah.
there's this character called Jing Yang, and he had like a whiteboard, and he's like,
"Oh,
he's building just like Chinese PayPal, we're building Chinese Facebook." And
then, yeah.
So he's thinking, we're building Cosmos LP vaults, we're building Cosmos multi-sigs.
Yeah.
What I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. No, that's funny. But yeah, it's, you know, I've been wanting to have Anon on for a while. It's just seemed like the right time, and it is the right time. So I think our listeners really enjoyed that one. And if you're listening to this, whether it's your first time, whether you're returning, and you want to catch up with everything we do in the future, make sure you hit that bell button, subscribe, you know, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. Give us a like on YouTube. Follow us on all our socials on Twitter, TikTok, and Telegram at Flywheel DeFi. You can follow me on Twitter at DeFiDave22.
You can follow me at 0xCapital_K.
And we'll see you next week. Everything said on this episode is not financial or tax advice. This channel is strictly for educational purposes and is not an investment advice or solicitation to buy or sell any assets or to make any financial decisions. This video is not tax advice whatsoever. Please talk to your accountant and do your own research.